Welcome to the CRPM podcast. My name is Maria Ristaska and I welcome today Professor Ruth Ferrero from University of Madrid and the former Vice Prime Minister Ivica Bozovsky, Ambassador in Brazil. I would like to start a conversation on the topic of European integration, something that you're very familiar with, considering that Professor Ferrero is teaching European Union integration at the University of Madrid and Ivica was heading this process of European integration of Macedonia as the Vice Prime Minister responsible for EU integration. The EU integration is somewhat stalled process, at least for the Western Balkans, but with the Ukraine conflict, the interest of the EU into the enlargement has been revived, I must say. This we can see from the statements of the EU officials, of the decisions to provide candidate status to Bosnia-Herzegovina, to Ukraine and Moldova, which opens the discussion for what we can expect in the future, considering these geopolitical changes in respect to the EU enlargement, and what will be the benefits for the Western Balkans.
I think the war in Ukraine gives a window of opportunity for the Western Balkans after a while of being stagnation of the European enlargement towards Western Balkans. The geopolitical new context permits the Western Balkan countries to go ahead with their processes that have been stopped by since 2019 or maybe before that, even with Juncker Commission, they were told
2013.
Yeah, they I mean, Juncker already said that no further enlargement would be happening so soon. However, the situation in the eastern flank of the European Union revitalized the whole thing because it's been used as an instrument of cohesion inside of the European Union and outside for the countries who are candidates for joining the European Union. The problem here is that the Western Balkans should take into account that this window of opportunity has just been opened because of the war. So they have to profit at that, but not losing the point. The thing is how the European Union is going to go further on this enlargement. Apparently, you know, if we follow up all the reports coming from the European Commission, they are giving priority to Moldova and Ukraine before the Balkans, which is in a way is not fair for Western Balkans since they started before the rally for joining the European Union. So that means that basically what the European Union now is looking for an oasis of security and defense. The main problem I found out is that probably all the items that have been supervised will have to do with security instead of other items such as democratic institutions and rule of law issues linked with that, as it is the case, for instance, with the corruption and other stuff like, you know, fighting against the oligarchs and, you know, that kind of thing. So the thing here is that until which point the Western Balkan countries are able to go further on stabilization and institutionalization of democratic basis and rule of law in a liberal democracy. Since apparently the merit-based approaches are, you know, losing track on that, as we've seen in the case of Serbia, for instance. So the most important thing would be security and stability. That's a paradox. The European Union has been approaching Western Balkans always in that sense, but this time they're just open up the door. For years, the European Union has been putting all the attention on stability and security and let down the democracy, as we've seen in some cases in the area, like where they are build up these stabilitocracy regimes, which are not being blamed by Brussels and the capitals. Like basically, they are looking to other parts of the region, but not on democratic institutions. In addition, I should say that the main problem we got now in Europe, besides the threat of Russia and the eastern flank, is the crisis of liberal democracies. So what's going on in Europe itself has to do also with that. The extremists grow up in all European countries, and they are going farther to build up a new kind of European Union, not following up the path of the Europe of values, but something else, probably more focused on security and defense, which is being buoyed by the mainstream political forces as well. So there is a danger on that frame that can lead us to build a Europe of security and defense and forget about social justice and democracy as such. So there is a long track of matters that has to be implemented in the Western Balkans already. Not all of Western Balkans are the same, of course. Some, as such, it is the case of North Macedonia and Albania, have been improving a lot over the last years. But now maybe we've seen kind of stagnation on that because of this priority given to security and defense. As a matter of fact, they're trying to introduce by the Commission, by the Member States, new criteria to enlarge, which has to put on the focus of the unanimous foreign policy for all the new member states. I mean, no one could join the European Union as far as they don't align with the majority foreign policy, taking into account that there is no such a thing in the European Union as a foreign policy. but anyway, the main priority is to focus on build up Europe against Russia. And from my point of view, I believe this is a wrong approach. It is a wrong approach, not because it's not a threat coming from the East, but it because they don't give priority to rule of law issues. And Europe is distinguished by their values and their strength in the rule of law. And we're losing track on that. So there is this big danger
for the European
project itself, and also it's basically, if we want to be a geopolitical actor in a global context,
we have to be
distinguished from other powers in the world. I mean, what makes us different from China or Russia or the United States has to do with values and with the defense of liberal democracy and human rights. And we're losing that.
Thank you. You've mentioned that we are losing also the meritocracy approach in the process of European integration, and we've seen proof that when it's applied, it actually has a positive impact on overall transformation of society in candidate countries. And I can single out one process in particular, which is related to the European integration. This is the visa liberalization, where EU had a clear and very objective benchmarks set for the Western Balkan countries, which was rewarded with the visa liberalization, but also provided some output legitimacy of the EU in the Western Balkan societies, communities. You were Vice Prime Minister at the time, Bozovsky, and how do you assess if we lose the meritocracy approach? What would then the new EU integration mean for us?
I think that the visa liberalization process exemplified what was the best about European integration overall, because there was a set of clear, tangible, achievable benchmarks delivered to all the Western Balkan countries. And the European Union was able to track the progress, to investigate the progress, and to evaluate the progress. In our case, it meant also a lot of coordination work within the line ministries, a lot of money spent to implement the new systems, fully in line with the European acquis, with the Schengen acquis, and also to streamline some of the processes within our own government. We were able to do that, and we were very happy that Macedonia was on the very top, because we tracked our progress weekly. We presented it in front of every single European government. We even went so deep to present it in front of different ministries. We discovered that even in Europe, even in some of the European countries, things are not as streamlined as they seem or as we hope they are. But nonetheless, at the end, the result was there, meaning all the Western Balkan countries fulfilling the criteria got the visa liberalization, and it's something which transformed our societies. Right now, not only young people, but everybody travels throughout Europe. They can freely go for tourism, for studies, for exchanges, sports, and the like. It helps us also to socialize with the wider European society. So that's a very big achievement regarding us. Also, Spain is a perfect example how enlargement is the best European foreign policy. You see, I also have a personal touch here because I was born on June 15, 1977, the day when Spain had its first democratic election. So as you can see, Spanish democracy is still youthful, vibrant, and strong, and resilient. Yeah. So, but nonetheless, you know, only 9 years after the first democratic election in Spain, the country was admitted in the European Union. It stabilized the Spanish democracy. It facilitated the reconciliation within the Spanish society. It moved them into in another dimension. Well, I was 13 when this country had its first democratic elections. 34 years went since, and we are still not in the European Union. So again, we are missing the opportunities to socialize, to stabilize, and also to be part of this wider project called the European Union. So this is a very big, there is a very big question mark. I mean, why is this geostrategic myopy of the European Union? They should press forward with the European integration of the Western Balkans. Yes, our countries have faults, but every single country which joined the European Union at one point had its faults. Even the original six countries, let's remember, these were countries redemocratizing after the Second World War. They were not perfect at that time. None of the countries admitted in the European Union was perfect. But by participating in the project, by pulling their sovereignty, by being present at every single institutional gathering and alike, the countries grow, the societies grow, and also we are creating this European public, European spaces, European society, and so on. So this is one of the reasons, I think, why the war in Ukraine reminded us that Europe should renew its best foreign policy, meaning enlargement and democracy stabilization.
It's good that you reminded me that this year we marked the 20 years from the Big Bang enlargement. We saw a big transformation in those countries. If we take a comparative look at what were the benefits there, can you identify some lessons to be learned and transferred to the Western Balkans?
Yeah, I mean, after the Big Bang enlargement, we've seen a lot of transformation in the countries that joined the European Union. The Europeanization process were fulfilled. But the main difference between that Big Bang enlargement and, for instance, the southern countries enlargement has to do also with the transitions. In the case of Spain, Portugal, and Greece, if you allow me, were basically focused on a political transition, whilst in other countries they had to achieve three main transitions, which are the political one, the economic one, and the social and institutional one, such the building up of new states, as it is the case for former Yugoslavia countries. And that takes much more time to install the economic transformation from to centralize economy to a market economy, and also to install operative institutions in the case of new nation states. So probably that has to do with the delay on that, but it's not just the it's not the only cause. I believe that there is a lack of political willingness to go faster on enlargement. Before the war, they were experimented this, as I mentioned before, this enlargement fatigue, probably because of the starting seeing things in countries such as Romania and Bulgaria. And it was, for instance, the Spanish position that they wanted to be more strict with the merit-based accession. And afterwards, when, North Macedonia and Albania were ready for starting negotiations, then, a political willingness of France basically stopped by the whole process for that. So we had to take into account that the political positions of the leaderships in the European Union has also something to do with that. And every time when we were asking, I've been working on enlargement to the Western Balkans for a long time now, every time you were asking experts and analysts about the situation of the Western Balkans, or who can Western Balkans give to Europe, to the European Union, the only question answer, or the only answer that was given was security. And that was before Ukraine. However, they started to think that, and this is my own reflection, started to think, well, they are so tiny, there are a lot, that may cause some trouble, and maybe we can stabilize the situation, give some security umbrella for them, and they can help us on, controlling some stuff that is going on the immediate borders of the European Union. And we've seen that, for instance, with the refugee crisis in 2015 and 2016, how the intergovernmental alliance in the European Union, not the whole of the European Union, but, the countries nearby of the region, signed agreements with Serbia and North Macedonia to, allow to open up refugee camps in the borders of the European Union. And they were happy with that. And also, we've seen it recently, or the most recently factor is, the open up of this asylum camp open up in Albania with a bilateral agreement with Italy. So it's kind of very convenient for some of the EU member states to have these countries out of the scene of the European Union, because they can profit out of it. They can pull out the crisis just in the immediate borders of the European Union, and they can provide security, they can stabilize the whole thing, but they are not putting a lot of energy on democratization, and especially the democratic institutionalizing democracy and rule of law. And besides that, they were giving them a lot of money, which stabilized, of course, but also allowed the state captured regimes, as we all know, that has been on role on playing a really important role in the whole region. So it's a multifactorial way. The numbers, the window of opportunity for member states which are on the borders of the European Union in the eastern flank, use these countries as, another base for control, in this case, the migration flows, for instance. And the problem is that they never expected this aggression of Russia into the eastern flank. And now they are coming late to fill in the hole in the center of the Balkan Peninsula. So now they want to go fast But if, as I mentioned before, they are putting all their attention into Moldova and Ukraine, in a lesser extent to Georgia. I don't quite sure if, the leverage of the European Union is getting too late to the Western Balkans because of the influence of other powers in these countries, with disinformation campaigns and economic investments that have been more increasing the perception of presence of, for instance, China or even Turkey in some countries than the presence of the European Union. I mean, the European Union should make a big effort to get into the opinion, into the public opinion, in relation with the presence of the European Union. The European need to win credibility among the public opinion, and it's very important to respond with concrete answers to the deliveries made by these countries. At the same time, I have this worry that at some point, because of all these years that had been waiting on this waiting room, these countries have just lost perspective about the transformations they have to implement in their own countries. I mean, the only goal they got is to get into the European Union, not to transform their own countries. So, of course, they wanted to get into union, but they also have to think about what is best for their own countries and how to improve and how they are committed with the installation of a liberal democracy based on rule of law, independently of the criteria set by the European Union. I think they are all grow-ups, and they had to take responsibility for that, and also to, face it in equal terms as the countries in the European Union, especially since we are seeing some backsliding issues going on inside of the European Union. So there are two, it's the same process which is going in parallel, but I have the feeling that sometimes the Western Balkan countries, everyone has their own specificities, not all are the same, but they have to also work for them, not just to be in the European Union. It's like it became the only purpose to tick up the tasks that had been assigned by Brussels. They don't think about their own necessities and their own development.
I think that the key issue will be how the European integration process will affect the democratization reforms in our region. And unlike these countries that were in the Big Bang enlargement, where we have countries that had some history of democracy, they had to just go back to the collective memory of their own country to learn or relearn the democratic behavior. In the Western Balkans, we don't have that collective memory, and the risk of not having the democratization process been done properly is bigger. What do you think about
that? I think what I just mentioned, even in the case of Spain, Portugal, and Greece, the European Union played this role of democratic stabilization. Even after the Big Bang, yes, it's true, there has been some significant backsliding, democratic backsliding in many of the Big Bang countries. But unlike the situation between the two world wars, there was no complete democratic breakdown. And one of the reasons why there was no democratic breakdown is the fact that then you get immediately excluded out of the European Union, and no political elite, no business elite in any of the countries of the European Union can actually allow this to happen. In the case of the Western Balkans, again, full European integration would also mean democratic stabilization. It would also mean socialization of the political, economic, cultural elites of these countries with the European ones, much deeper than what we are seeing and experiencing right now. So yes, immediate membership, even though our countries are imperfect in terms of rule of law and the like, will actually accelerate democracy building, promotion of rule of law, and so on and so on. We've seen it in our case, for example, the foreign direct investment promotion policy helped the rule of law. I cannot think, you know, of a foreign direct investment which had a problem in this country with the local judiciary. So why is that the case? I mean, well, because first, there was a complete alignment of many of the European acquis with the domestic legislation, number one. And number two, it's within our national interest to actually attract, promote, and expand the foreign direct investments in this country. So it's a win-win game. On one hand, the European Union enhances the single market. Politically, it becomes much stronger. You can actually see after Brexit, we are all forgetting about Brexit. I mean, we are behaving as, you know, a child. When the child is 3 years old, it just closes its eyes and thinks it's not there. Yeah? So we're not talking about Brexit. It was a very, very, very big blow to the European Union and its global rating. You know, one of the bigger ones, you know, got out. But still, there are six countries in the Western Balkans eager to get in.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, the new countries.
It gives a message that actually
Europe is still attractive.
EU is disintegrating,
yes.
And with this process of enlarging towards the Western Balkans, we send a message that we are integrating still further.
We are integrating, yes. We are expanding. We are still attractive. We are still a global power to be reckoned with. And in terms of rule of law, democracy,
and it's the whole
promotion
continent.
Yeah, exactly. In terms of promotion of democracy and rule of law and the like, this is the best policy you can get. So I think that this politicking, if I may say so, you know, like going back and forth, appeasing domestic public opinion, because, you know, I think EU is not attractive in some of the founding members, and European integration is the one taking the blow, especially with Western Balkan countries, and also with our neighbors, Romania and Bulgaria. They were not so bad.
Are you referring to Macron?
Well, among others. I think he represents the biggest country there. And of course,
the founding
country. But there are also other countries within this basket of non-committed, if I may say so, or hesitant when it comes. Well, even that can be resolved. Right now, a lot of proposals are floating around in Europe about gradual integration. I don't think that anyone in this country or in the Western Balkan countries will oppose to the project of, let's say, entering the single market, getting access to structural and cohesion funds, entering the Schengen zone, adopting euro, entering the OECD, and then waiting, you know, for the political integration. If our citizens can have equal passports, like Norwegian citizens, I mean, basically European passports, if they can freely travel throughout the European Union, if we can participate at certain political debates within the European Union, we're there. Europe was always very creative about finding solution when there was a roadblock, finding a way around the roadblock. In this case, the lack of political will is preventing finding a way around the roadblock in this case. So again, we can become members initially without full membership rights, but then after a while, I think they will conclude.
Build trust.
Yeah, they will conclude there is a deep trust between us and them, and we'll be fully integrated. Afterwards, we need each other. In the case of the Western Balkans, around 80% of our trade exchange of the whole region is connected to the single market. So what are we talking about? We are integrated. Yeah, it's only about barriers coming down, passports becoming European passports. You know, our students applying to some universities. I mean, it's amazing. Like, Western Balkan students are restricted to applying to certain universities because our citizens are not members of the EU or the European Economic Area. You know, and then we talk about big dreams, integrating the and like,
which was not the case for the Big Bang countries when they were candidate countries. Because I studied at EU university at that time, and I remember that it was different for non-candidate at the time. Macedonia was not. and the candidate countries. And now we don't have the same treatment. I think that also the EU growth plan is the new game of the EU in the region, which will support further regional cooperation. And we have discussed that intensively at the first panel of our conference. I invite all followers of the CRPM podcast to also watch the panel on the EU normative power. Thank you very much for this being guest at the CRPM podcast.
Thank you very much to you.
Thank you. Благодарим.